Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S. Welcome back, Brad, to the latest episode of Blue Collar BS. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mr. Doyle.
It's beautiful here in Metro Detroit. Nice, sunny. It's probably like 2 degrees. You know, we got over a foot of snow. It's delicious out. My daughter told me, you know what my daughter told me while we were out plowing the snow?
I don't know.
She's out laying in the snow. She's sitting there. She's like, Dad, did you know that it's all you can eat snow right now? Just don't eat the blue or the yellow. And you know what, Dad? Don't eat the green either. But all the white, you can eat it all and it's free.
Wow. Well, that'll be great when this show episode sometime in April or May talk about absolutely, snow. So that's right? All good.
Absolutely, right?
That is fantastic. Yes. All you can eat snow. Perfect.
That's right. Perfect. Right? Things yes. You learn from your kids.
So many places we could go with that. But so today we got an awesome guest. A gentleman that I've been had the pleasure to work with for many, many years, and he's been able to teach me many things along my career path, and I'm very grateful for that. Mr. Don Curtin, he and I go back to our Bucyrus and Caterpillar days. He is a welding savant, 35 years of manufacturing, building really big, cool shit. Lots of really big, cool shit that he's been involved with. First-hand knowledge of seeing what's going on in that blue-collar space with welders and machinists and everything else. So we're very, very grateful to have you here today, Don. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
He says that now.
Yeah, right.
Wait till we're done. So, Don, the first question we always get into with everyone is to help us understand and identify which generation do you best fit in with?
Probably the baby boomer, I guess, by age. I don't know. It's right at, 1964 was the cutoff. That's when I was born. But
really close there.
Baby boomer, I guess.
Well, yes, that would be it. That right means there you're on the edge. Right on the edge, right? There are some crossover opportunities there, right? So
yeah,
leading edge of X, tail end of boomer, and I'm in that same beginning part of that Gen X and 67, right. So we're not that far apart, and there's a lot of those grandparent and parental influences that we lived with that maybe kids today don't necessarily understand or respect.
True, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing today and how you're helping the welding world become a stronger, better place.
Okay. Yeah. Right now I'm in a role as the welding manager at Komatsu in Milwaukee, the former harness figure, Joy Global, the former competitor of Bucyrus back in the day.
Yep.
Pretty much the same stuff that I grew up with. But yeah, we're working on developing our welders. We'll bring in people that are experienced and we'll train them to what we do. Right now though, we've got three GPS students, Generac Power Systems Education.
Okay.
It's been around for a while. Actually, one of our supervisors was a graduate of that program when it first started. So we got three kids that are 18 years old, or less than 18 years old. They're in high school yet. They're in their awesome. Senior years. And
that's cool.
They're there every day working on training. We also have four young men. They're 18 years old. They've got some little bit of welding experience, and we're putting them through a 10-week program to get them up to speed to work on our product. We actually are in our third week, and they're all doing pretty well. So, and
no undercut. Are they taking care of that yet or not?
They're taking care of it. We also earlier this year we had some MATC instructors in. We're training them on how to work with 3/32 flux core and trying to get them developed so that they can teach that. Right now, the tech schools really don't teach much of the heavy flux core welding. So we're trying to promote that. We're working on possibly a partnership with them. That's to be determined right now, but we're working on developing something with MATC so we can get kids at least attracted or exposed to the 3/32 flux core welding or heavy plate welding.
Right.
Try to track them that way.
What were the kids' reactions when they walked into the factory?
Oh yeah, that's always fun. You know, I mean we have a model of a shovel. It's an old I don't know my P&H machinery as well.
It's like an old Bucyrus, Bucyrus 201 or Marion 201, right?
Yeah,
295. Yeah,
it's a little guy. And but the stuff we're making in the factory is like, you know, three times as big as that. But yeah, it's pretty neat when they see that. And
they freak out when they see that first piece of 6-inch plate they got to go out and see with a 45 degree bevel on it.
Yeah,
yep. You want, like, you want us to fill what?
You're gonna be here a while. Get our Snickers bar.
You might get a little hangry.
Yep.
That's awesome. So have you seen a difference as you've brought on these young men and hopefully maybe some young women as well, a difference of how their behaviors are in the workforce compared to how you grew up or how you were when you were younger?
I'd like to look at each as an individual. So we do have some individuals that you know, they want that instant gratification. You know, they want to be a fitter right away. they don't want to. They want to run the robot. You know, and things like that, which mostly the young kids probably would do better. But anyway, we have some kids that are, I would call them, you know, more old school. You know, they just get after it, and I don't know. We have a couple in the two GPS students that I have right now. They're in our start time is at 6:00. They come in at about 20 to 6 every day.
Oh, wow. Like, they get there early.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Like, they're like clockwork, and they're putting in the work. And so, yeah, I think it's a mix. I wouldn't want to label any kid just because of his age.
I just wasn't sure if you were seeing any trends or patterns, right? From a generality perspective to help the audience understand of maybe that if you saw something and how you were dealing with correcting some of those behaviors or opportunities to engage them into a more enlightening environment versus having them walk away. Right. Cause it's about establishing the pool of talent, right, that we can all draw from. It's not about protecting, creating your own pond, but create an ocean of talent, which is commendable what you guys are doing.
Yeah, that's my philosophy. I want these kids to learn, whether they stay with us or not. I want them to learn as much as they can to, you know, just develop them into good, productive employees. They learn different. I guess I have a couple that are real quiet. Some are, you know, they want that assurance that. You know, I'm doing okay. And I don't know if that's different across the age spectrum or not. But
how many of your senior guys need the reassurance as you go through on the daily floor and doing the walk?
The guys that have been there for a while or the guys that are students?
Oh, the guys that have been there for a while, right? So you take.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That you're exactly right, Brad. I mean, everybody's there's some guys that you got to pat them on the back once in a while, let them know they're doing a good job. Others, they don't need that. Identify who those are and deal with them that way. But
one of the questions I'm curious about, what is the one thing that you've seen that you're kind of just surprised at with the younger generation right now coming in and welding for you guys?
Nothing really. I guess it's a blur for me because I've been around for,
they've been coming and going for a long time.
Yeah, so I mean, there's some characters out there, right? Some of them aren't just young. There's some of the older ones are just as goofy as the younger ones.
yes.
Yeah, you got that right.
You know, we got some, I like some of the kids are, I guess, real confident as they start getting into it. And then all of a sudden we give them something that kind of humbles them. So.
Yeah. You know?
Uh-huh. And, but that's part of learning, I guess.
Like a little plate, like a little T1.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got to heat that up, and it's 90 degrees outside. So,
yeah. In the shade. 450 preheat. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I really enjoy dealing with the kids, and you know, we've shared the guy I'm taking this place. He's been with Komatsu for probably about 17 years in this role, and then he's going to be retiring in June. So I've been able to shadow him a little bit, but he gave a presentation yesterday with all our kids. And one of the things that we try to impress upon them is him and I both, we didn't start out in, you know, going to school and everything. We started out as welders in the floor, just like they are. And we've taken our careers through different roles and different paths. But I think it's a good foundation for them to at least get some experience on the weld floor. And then all these other doors can open with them with the tuition reimbursement programs that are out there with companies, you can get your education paid for while you're working. So we try to impress upon them that, you know, this is not something that if you don't like this, at least have it on your resume, something that you can do and you can get in somewhere and maybe open some doors later.
Yeah, I remember when I was mentoring with the first robotics program here in town, and we had a young gentleman. We had a great mentor, first of all, who was a former GE medical guy that had the patience of a saint to be able to teach people. So he taught him aluminum. We worked in aluminum, so he's doing aluminum welding. Obviously not the easiest thing in the world to do. It takes a little different skill than some steel, but it's all light gauge aluminum. And this kid would just practice and practice and practice. And he did some butt joints and some other things that were just spectacular. And we were like, don't destroy that. Don't throw it away. Keep that. Because if you ever want to go, right, as a 15-year-old kid, if you ever want to go to some local weld shop, just take that coupon with you, put that on their desk. They'll have a conversation with you because they're not going to talk to you otherwise because they don't think you know shit. So at least take those samples with you to say, hey, this is what I've done. This is what I can do to have the conversation. Do you see within the other parts of the workforce at all that there's a bias towards these young kids at all of, hey, you don't know what you're doing, so leave us alone, or you got a pretty good handle on that?
We've got a really good crew of experienced people mentoring these guys once they get out there. I think they do a really good job of just taking them under a wing and showing them the ropes. Really good group of guys in our factory when it comes to the helping out the young guys.
Good, because I've been in some places where that wasn't the case.
There's a couple here and there, but I mean,
if the environment is for the most part very friendly, I've been walked through some shops where it was, you knew where you stood all the time. It didn't matter. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Some of our former suppliers that we used to have had those types of environments, and it was not fun to walk through.
Well, I try to, I talk to the kids about, you know, hey, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're an idiot than open it and remove all doubt.
Yes.
You know, just, you know, observe and try to learn from the rest of the crew that you're working with. But, you know, some of them aren't going to take that advice. They're going to pop off. And, you know, we've had that happen too. But like I said, it's not a generational thing. I've seen that happen all 35 years where, you know, and it's something that I wish I would have done a long time ago is kept a journal of all the stuff that happened every day. You know, the interactions between some of the employees, the things they did, it's a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of the things you mentioned a little earlier was the fact that you had mentioned you had started out in the where they are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You have a couple other employees that have actually grown up and moved up. So the question that I have is, from the students coming in, how are they viewing that as an opportunity?
Oh, actually, when I first got into the role, one of them asked me, so how did you get this job? And so we talked a little bit about, you know, my career path and whatnot. But no, I think they recognize, or hopefully by now they recognize that, you know, they don't have to just put the hood down and weld all day for the rest of their career just because they're in this class. It's just another brick in their foundation of their career.
No, that's good. One of the follow-ups that I have with that is how you had mentioned you take on more of a mentoring role as well. How has that helped the students, whether it's, you know, we're focused here on generations, but you've been there for a while and you've mentored many different generations. That impact, like how that mentoring, how does that help them decide one way or another of staying or, you know, staying and continuing there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've been a supervisor for quite a few years, you know, at Procyrus, and my roles at Komatsu, you know, I was a quality engineer, then I was a manufacturing engineer. Not a whole lot of interaction with the workforce compared to being a supervisor. But this new role, I don't know, I try to get the guys to, you know, when they're in the lab, this is whether it's a 10-week stint or a couple-week stint, this is, you know, this is an interview. This is a long interview. So your work habits and your in your ability to accept criticism, your attention to detail, things like that. All those things are going to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they remember that in the future, but right now, it's for me, it's too early to tell where they're at when it comes to how effective my mentoring is for them.
Well, I will say that you are a pay it forward guy, Don.
Yeah.
Right. You are just from our own interactions from back in the day. And right, I'm not a welder by any stretch of the imagination, but just being able to communicate and bridge that gap between the floor and the office and suppliers and everything like that, and have that communication skill that you do have and the experiences that go along with it, that is priceless.
Yeah.
Right. Because you've seen all sides of it. You've been around it. You've seen it, and you're willing to give and share. And that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
one of the things that is admirable about you. And your organization should be very blessed to have you in that spot, because this is how we're going to be able to bring Gen Z kids in, is to create an environment where people want to come in.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Not go into the dark, dirty, dangerous locations and hope they come out with all their limbs.
Right.
That's not what it is anymore. Nope. May have been
yep.
just a decade ago, but not anymore.
No. Nope. Yeah.
What's your biggest joy out of watching these young students progress?
Well, it's maybe not the students now, but just throughout my career, watching some of my employees go from, say, just a welder to they're a fitter, they're running a robot, they're just came from very little skill or knowledge, and then all of a sudden now they're the expert. And I've been able to see that a couple times, you know, more than a couple throughout my career. So I'm not taking credit for it, but I know I helped them, you know.
Right.
And that mm-hmm. gives me probably one of the best things I can say as far as job satisfaction is watching people develop.
Yeah, you're one of the easiest guys to talk to. You are. There are guys, the emotional pendulum was either it was all off or all on. There was no middle ground.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Regardless of what's happening on the floor and your ability to analyze and look at it and assess and look for the root, not the symptom, is a skill that I'm hoping your students and those that are working with you today recognize and learn from.
Yeah, we try to, like when we're teaching, one of the big things we teach at Komatsu is bead sequence. We want everybody's welds to look the same.
To avoid inspection happen. Problems, maybe?
Absolutely. You know, we have a recipe.
People like me.
We have a recipe of success of how you do it properly, and we train that. In the lab, we try to, you know, this has to be a 5-pass weld. This has to be a 7-pass weld. And we try to emphasize that if you're consistent with all these things, then you're going to get the same results. They're always trying to reinvent the wheel. A welder will say, oh, I changed my settings to here or to that. And then they're going to make it better and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to make it better. All right.
Every welder is the best welder, right? Talk to them. But, and you know, we try to build like a foundation of, okay, when things are going bad, I got to stop and recalibrate myself, right? It's like golf, right, Brad? You start doing something where you start slicing, and you know what you're doing wrong, but if
just
you
too stupid
know
to
what,
fix it.
Well, you can, yeah, you know what you're doing wrong, and maybe you can fix it, but at least you know what you're doing wrong. Some golfers are out there, they don't know what they're doing wrong. They just keep, I'll just keep aiming more left. Well, you're going to keep slicing more then. I mean, you're just going to get worse. but it's, you know, we try to give them the knowledge of, or give them something to go back to, like, all right, I got to stop doing what I'm doing. I got to start over. And this is how I'm going to do this right. I'm going to set my machine to this. I'm going to go back to the things that I was taught. And then, you know, cause everybody's going to have a bad day. Yep. And,
it's the foundations, right? Yep. It's building that foundation, and you're going to get guys that are going to say, oh, I'll do it. I'll do the 7-pass weld in 6 and I'll put a cover on it.
Yeah.
Well, great. Cool. I can't wait till you got to take it all out and redo it.
Yeah.
Because somebody doesn't like how it looks.
Right.
You got that.
Cause you got inspectors like Doyle out there that are just like, oh, great. And that was
you're an inspector, Steve.
I did for a while.
Yeah. Weld inspection or machining?
Weld.
Oh, really?
I crawled under a couple of vehicles in the Oshkosh yard
Okay.
That whole weld inspection thing of, right, if it looks good, it is good, versus transition points from welder A to welder B. And
it's not supposed to be subjective, but it is.
Oh, it's super subjective.
It's way more than subjective.
Yeah.
So, Don, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to learn more about welding, how can they do that?
Probably the best way would be to send me an email. It can be reached at donald.curtin@global.komatsu.
Global.komatsu.
Global.komatsu, yep. No.com.
Okay.
It's just global.komatsu. Donald.curtin@global.komatsu.
And how many people are you looking to try to acquire and bring in and replace what's going out the door from a retirement perspective?
Well, right now, it looks like we're, excluding the four that I have in my lab right now, I'd say we're looking for maybe a dozen.
Okay.
That number is always changing. You know, as you know, our business, Brad, welders, sometimes they, as they get more seniority, they want to move on to driving a forklift or running a crane, because it's a very physically demanding job. And if, you know, that's why, again, I press upon the kids. It's like, go to school. You know, if you don't want to do this, go to school and get a associate's degree or something, and something that we could use at the plant as well. But, or else, again, there's guys that'll just, we call it the semi-retirement job, driving a forklift and running a crane. But those are going to happen, you know, they're going to move on and they're going to do something else, and we're going to have to backfill those roles. So that number is always, we're always looking. And I remember when I was at, I was going to school before I got hired at MATC. And I think we ran one test plate of 3/32 flux core. And my teacher at the time, Dick Tupta, he said, yeah, not a lot of companies use this, but you know, Bucyrus is one of them and Joy Global. But the thought at the time was that this is going to be going away, and it's 30 years later, and it's not at all. You know, we've tried at Bucyrus, I know we tried going to different types of wire, metal core, hard wire, and we just really never could get the mechanical properties right, and we always kept going back to flux core. And when I come over to Komatsu, it's the same story. You know, they stick with what works. They've experimented with stuff. They've tried different things, but they always have to go back to what's been working.
Uh-huh. Hard to change some of those traditions, right? To go from flux core to metal core is it's a mindset shift. It's a difference of different things. It's just different.
Brings a lot of other problems that you don't have in flux core. And I mean, it's brighter. You have the silicone rather than the slag.
There's lots of pros and cons both ways, and history for that, for our industry, has been it's going to remain flux core. We're going to have, you know, as long as it's left for suppliers and tier twos and tier threes to be able to meet the requirements, great.
Yeah.
You know, we had that argument with one of the dragline projects. In fact, I think you may have helped us on that to convince our metallurgist to say, yes, let's do this. Because it's okay. They were a wire core, solid core shop. And I'm like, no, it's got to be flux core. Like, well, why? Help me not knowing. Help me understand. If we end up with the right results, help me understand the difference in what the impacts might be. And that was a long, drawn-out process to get that approval through.
Yeah, I could see that. But, I want them to another thing that even if they don't come to Komatsu, some of our subcontractors in the area, you know, they need people too. I can think about three or four of them right now off the top of my head that whatever we can't do, we sub out to them. I mean, right. We don't build a whole machine at Komatsu, but some of it's done in the local area. So we're trying to work with MATC to get more heavy plate welding into their curriculum so that at least they expose the kids to what we do. If there's a program like we do have now where we'll bring kids in and train them. I mean, how'd you like to make $28 an hour right out of high school? I mean, that'd be crazy back in the day, right?
Totally.
I mean, it went to $5.35.
The $5.35 an hour wasn't good enough.
Oh my God. I mean, I think minimum wage when I was 18 was, I want to say $3.25. And I got a job making $5.50 an hour, and I thought I was rich, you know.
Well, you were.
Yeah.
All right. So it's Donald.Curtin
yes.
at global.komatsu.
Right.
And, yep. and for some great opportunity, and anybody that's listening to this, and you might not be in the Milwaukee area or wherever you are, there is, I was a forging guy before I became a fabricating person when I went on my career, and forgings might be cool, but the things you can put together with weld and plate and forming material and things, it's amazing. And there's some great, great equipment, and there's awesome people to work with. And so if you're listening and you want an opportunity in the weld world, please reach out to Don. We need young people to get into this industry to continue to make really cool shit.
Yep. Yes, we do.
Thank you so much, Don, for coming on today. I appreciate it a lot.
Yes, yeah, I had fun. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks nice meeting you, Steve, and nice talking to you again, Brad.
All right, man.
We will see you on a golf course in the summer, hopefully.
Yes, we will at some point, no doubt.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS. Brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.